Sue and Mr. Pete, we got to do something about those blinds in your place.
Do it this weekend.
She's treating her blinds?
No.
Destroyed.
Contessa is very, anybody that goes near her territory, if she's in there and they're out, Contessa goes ballistic. And she's ripped up the blinds. Just something that she can't rip up. Even just painting the windows shut. I mean, painting the windows.
Do you need to measure once or do you need to measure again?
By now, I need to measure again.
Okay.
That's about 6 months ago.
Okay. Well, it's about the usual time frame for getting things accomplished.
I thought I'd feel better when Bloom left.
Pick somebody out.
I think a lot of people have said it over the years.
Keep sending people out.
Was that like an invitation for this morning?
It's an offer.
Who makes you sick?
Ecclesiastes 4. We went through verse 12 yesterday. Verse 13, we start today. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. Will no more be admonished. And the actual translation says, knows not how to receive admonishment. The purpose of suffering is correction. In the 23rd Psalm, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And Paul said we glory in affliction. Well, what is correction or affliction? What's the purpose of the rod or the staff in your life? And if you really look at it from the perspective of out of time, then you have to come to the conclusion that it's anything you don't like, anything that you think is wrong, anything anything that causes you even the slightest feelings of discomfort. And so it then becomes a miracle if anyone ever hears the mystery, because everyone doesn't want to receive admonition by the vehicle of suffering. Just think about it. How many thousand times have we all been deceived by thinking something was wrong, somebody else was doing something you don't like? And it's the fish swimming in the ocean thing. How does a fish describe the ocean? Because it's what we swim in. So most of your how-tos, most of the religion of Babylon is how to avoid suffering, how to avoid pain, and how to gain what you think is right, what you think is good. And if you look at the doctrines of today, how to raise nice children, how to have a godly government, how to have a better relationship with your wife or husband. And it goes on and on and on and on. What? You. No, wait a minute. Harry's doing something. Harry doesn't like this.
It's embarrassing.
It's so stupid. It's embarrassing. Well, it's... I was thinking to myself, you know, later today I need to come over and talk to you, which is, you know, I didn't do it now. But I'm back in that same thing. I just found out that in this last issue of the magazine, we lost another 50 subscribers. It's just every issue, the subscribers are just going away. It's getting worse and worse and worse. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I have no idea what to do about it, but I feel like I should know what to do about it. I was just reading the paper, and it's about this new website they've come up with for golfers, and it's like, I don't understand it, I don't care about it, I don't know how to do it, but I should know how to do it, and I'm feeling hopeless and useless, and worse yet, I'm feeling derelict. And I was thinking to myself, I need to come over and tell you that I don't know what I'm doing. Because I feel guilty because I don't know.
And you think this? And you think this would be a surprise to me?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
As funny as it is, that's what I'm in, and I feel terrible.
Well, it's back to the performance. It's always what it comes back to. You've got to perform.
And I'm not.
Well, and don't worry about it. Whatsoever we do in thought, in word, in deed, we do heartily as unto God. Therefore, the results aren't our business.
See, this is the rod and the staff, but they're not comforting.
Well, of course not.
See, I have the same thing about stuff I would like to do, but this rod and this staff keeps me from going astray. Do I still try and go astray? Yeah. My mind always wants to go astray.
And again, I ask you, then why pay attention to it?
I'm trying not to. For like 3 days now, I've been, whenever it was you sent me the count, that's when it started. For like 3 days, I've been trying not to pay attention to it. For 3 days, I've been trying to remind myself, I can't.
Wait a minute, what's this? The one I'm always using you for 3 months.
Oh, my ass.
Why would you let there be a weight on you for a split second?
Well, I'm not letting it. I'm trying.
Yes, you are.
You just come up on it?
No, why didn't you talk about it if you couldn't give it away instantly? That's when
I thought I did. But
talk about to you. Who did you talk about it to?
The snow collector keeps knocking at the door.
Who'd you talk about it to?
Who did I talk? Nobody.
That's what I said. Why didn't you, if you needed help?
I thought I did. I thought I was able to get
it. And for 3 days, it's been...
I thought at last I started to grow up.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I'll use Gary as the example for Harry, okay?
It's Gary. It's better. Well, Pete's
sitting somewhere. Again... I'm always accused of something, of trying to control people's life. I don't give a holy rat's ass about your life, except that you become a disciple if you're here. But if you have a weight on you and you don't go to the place that you is your covering and give it away, then you're walking in rebellion. And I, as I said before to you, I can count now maybe on two hands the number of times in 35 years that you've come and said, I have a weight.
You'd call it progress?
No. I'd call it ultimate maximum rebellion.
And you can actually go anywhere.
Go anywhere.
Anybody who happens to be walking by and get it out of your soul.
That's right. But I'm saying that's what this idea of covering is about. It has nothing to do with anybody telling you what to do.
You create your covering.com.
But go to anybody. But don't, you got to have the zeal not to ever again be satisfied to have the weight of a feather on you. That is more important than your next meal, than your next breath. As a disciple, you've got to hear this so that you stop walking in that deception. This is why we exhort one another daily while it is still called today. But if you, again,
let me tell you ticket.
Wait. Let me read what we just read. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. The foolish king is the one that thinks something is going on with him, something that he has to deal with. The word king here, just it's you. You're the king of your world.
Yeah, as opposed to the innocence of the child, those two things are
right.
It's the thought that you should know better and be able to do better.
How can you think that when you hear, except you be converted and become as the little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God? Therefore, if the kingdom of God is your goal and you are in the place where there's weight because of whatever, I think I should know better, I think I should be able to do this. If I don't do this, then all will fail, the world will come to an end, and Iran will evade somebody or something. I mean, it's really just this humongous thing of self-importance. And you think it's, oh no, I'm trying. I'm doing my best. No, you're not. You're trying to maintain your kingship. What? I can't talk when your fist is in your... I mean, I can't hear you.
Gary had an issue with you, and I'm... He's
reminding you.
Well, everybody has an issue with me. What's new?
What you just said is true.
Well, that's why we're studying the Scripture.
True. That's what I've been doing. I think I have something. I like thinking I have something. Except when it starts to fall apart, and then I have to desperately try and make believe I have something, or, you know, it's true. Instead of, I don't know what I'm doing.
Here's how I see this, and that, you know, in James where it talks about count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So there's obviously an implication something's going on that doesn't happen instantly, because there's a season... a time period of where you're being tried.
Okay, stop. You're trying to justify time again. The very words are justifying yourself.
I'm reading James.
Well, yes. Happy is the man that can joy in all tribulations. And so you're trying to joy in the tribulation. And then if you're not, you're justifying it by passage of time. No, you're not joying in the tribulation because of rebellion.
But until you see that, what's happening?
But until you, if as long as you think that time is necessary, then you won't see it. Because you'll, and the next time you'll say, well, time is necessary. You've got to hear this once and for all time. You are on the mercy seat or you are not on the mercy seat. It has nothing to do with time.
Okay, we'll take the time when you're not on the mercy seat.
Then if you're there for more than 100th of a millionth of a second, you're a fool. If you're not there.
It may be true, but it doesn't seem like that reading this.
You're reading the word with time as the predicate. You can't. Because then it's not finished. Then you're giving place to the evil one. You're giving place to the devil. This is critical. There's no time necessary. That's why the only reason that this night of the last day has lasted 2,000 years is because of the very attitude that you just described. And I promise you, if that is your attitude, wherever you read in the Scriptures, you'll find a justification for it.
Seem to find it necessary, or he would wrap it up.
It's his long suffering that is the reason. It's his mercy that is the reason. Hear this, once and for all time, every time that you are not on the mercy seat, you're crucifying the Son of God afresh. Every time you think time is necessary, you're crucifying the Son of God afresh. The way has to be narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower.
I don't think it's time is necessary. That's incidental to the process of seeing. You know, if everybody saw instantly every moment, we wouldn't need to meet in the mornings. But there's things that are happening.
Again, listen.
That forget listen. The time crap.
It's not crap.
Well, it must be crap. That's all you talk about is, you know.
I do when I'm talking to you when you're justifying rebellion by saying it's process.
Well, you're just, that's weird. Just, you know, I mean, you accuse me of something and then I'm sitting here with, you know, what am I doing?
Again, well, let me just read what we just read.
Okay.
Better is the poor and wise child than the old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. And right now your mind has gone into protection, and there's no admonishment. It's either finished, you have redeemed the time, or it's not. It's black, it's off and on, black and white.
No, I don't disagree with that. But if you're not in a place where you see that, then you're someplace else. That something has to happen to jog you out of it to where, you know, you remember.
What is that thing? What do the scriptures say that thing is?
Rebellion.
The thing that's necessary is the preaching of the cross.
Yeah.
But not so that you can improve the process or make the process smoother or even shorter. It's that you can so you can destroy the thought of process. As long as you believe process in process, or give place to process, then the sacrifice of God wasn't enough. And this is the bottom line. Now, I mean, and the only reason that the test comes like it does is so that you will, that excuse will be destroyed.
And that's fine. But by your very words, you imply that there is a test that takes place in some dimension, which we call time, which I can't bring up without you going berserk. Getting all crazy on me.
Getting medieval on you.
I mean, I understand the finished, but there must be something else going on, or...
Yes,
there's
something else that's going on is rebellion.
Why do you have to label it rebellion?
Why do you have to call it sin?
What would you like? You know, really like
call it just.
Okay, well, let's remove rebellion. The very thing that's going on is sin. If you don't like sin, the very thing is all that's going on is unbelief. Remember, for years, the little one here, every single time anybody brought up something like this, she just, this isn't very difficult. You don't believe. Let's hear from the Rutledge side of the equation, just as another witness.
Everything's instantaneous. But I think you're not a very precise speaker. And so the imprecision just bleeds over into, I don't think you're quite getting the precision, which I don't know if we can beat that into Gary or not. You know, it's like just...
Well, it's not a matter of beating it into him.
You don't get the dichotomy on some of these things because the words don't, you know, you're not into those words. You're just like, so, you know, I think that's what's happening. But don't let it bother you.
It's not, yeah.
But it bothers me because if you say it and I let you get by with saying it, then it's going out to whoever else is listening, that it justifies time. Redeem the time, for the days are of the evil one. You redeem the time by saying that you have the gift of God, which is eternal life, which is no time at all. And so all of the mystery of process is part of the mystery of rebellion. Now, believe it or not, all this that just went through, that you and I, where you get protective and I get upset, is for Harry's benefit. Because this is exactly what he does, but you're more obvious about it.
Well, when the spotlight isn't on me, I can hear. I'm not defending myself. I can see this perfectly. A readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. Your obedience is fulfilled when you hear, when you see. Anything after that is rebellion, disobedience. Not hearing. Disobedience just means not hearing.
Well, it also means ungodly. Because you're giving place to the evil one. You know, this, no matter what it is that we talk about, once Christ said it's finished, that should be the end of the line for us. But that then we account his long suffering as salvation. But the moment we see that we are causing the suffering, then the fear of God comes back and says, "Oh my God, how have I been so stupid?" It has nothing to do with me. But you always focus on me because you think that, well, I'm in a debate. No, you're not. I'm not debating with you. I don't care whether I win or lose, or I care that you hear. That there is that it's finished. Because if you don't hear, it's finished. If that obedience hasn't been fulfilled, if you don't then bring every thought into captivity to that obedience, you can't come to any other conclusion. I spent months on this one. I loved process. The problem is once you. 2 Corinthians 10:3, if you want to look, it's the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high place that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that means that. It means, what is the obedience of Christ? It's finished. There is no other definition that you can come up with. Your thought, time, process can't possibly stand against it is finished. And so at some point there has to be that breakthrough so that it explodes in you what the redemption means. That what to redeem the time. And then all of a sudden your obedience is fulfilled and then you will automatically have this instantaneous readiness to revenge the disobedience. But as long as you excuse the process, then you're not hearing that it is finished. You're not hearing that the night has come and no man can work.
You get this, Harry?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
I think you believe that Jehovah is saying, like Christian Scientists or something, you know, sickness doesn't exist or, you know, something. But that's not it. It's just that, you know, you can't instantaneously. It's always the, you know, the only thing to do. Sort of missed whatever it was you read at the very first, so I kind of know what it was you're talking about.
James. When you're tempted for a season.
Count it all joy.
Whatever. So the first bite of the fruit didn't kill me.
It has to be someplace in us. We have to see how total our rebellion is. And how our only hope is total grace. And that as long as we, whatever, however you want to say it, process, time, as long as you, in your mind, if you think that is necessary or justified, then there can't be, you can't have the zeal to revenge the disobedience. Because you look automatically. I mean, you're not thinking about it, you're not trying to be it. It's the nature of the beast. And so when you speak the words won't have life because they didn't produce death in you. Now, I'm harder on you than I am on anyone because you're a teacher.
And John, your thing?
Well, his was, I used to be mind-blowing on him.
He's on my high place now.
Evil bastard.
No, you can. That's the whole promise. You can walk on. You can dance. Any. The high place no longer controls you. But when you excuse rebellion in the name of process, which whether or not that's, it doesn't matter what you think you said. That's what you said, and that's how the people will hear it. Then I have to speak against it. Not so I can be in some kind of debate with you. I don't care about that. I mean, you know, just a minute ago, I was ready just to throw up my hand and quit. Which would make a lot of people happy, I suppose. I'm serious. I was at that point. It's just because I don't have any more words. I don't have any other way. I don't have anything else to give you.
I remember one time sitting down there years ago when there was like 20 of us meeting on Wednesday night or whatever, and I remember I was upset about something, and at some point I stopped and I looked around and I realized there were 19 other people in the room that I knew they cared about me, I trusted them, I'd been around them a long time, and they were all saying the same thing, and it was all the opposite of what I was saying. And I didn't just acquiesce, but what I said was, you know what, maybe I should stop and consider the possibility that I might be wrong and they might be right. That I'm not, there's a possibility I'm not getting it. And that was a massive thing for me. And I think that's my advice to you, is to look around and think, you know what, maybe I've got something, a guilt, not right. Because I can say amen to every word that's been said from over here. And it is for my benefit, but I also can tell you the same thing.
I don't have anything else to say. Anybody else? Take a big guy.
Is the decibel levels didn't set off the park?
It's a huge black dog.